was reading today. I'm not sure how far to go here. Psalm 27 is going a little longer than I thought. We may or may not cover that here, but I'm trying. I'm doing homework on that tough section there on women on the end of that chapter. But it's just a start. There is a lot to read and a lot to think on with that. Let's pray. Father, thank you for each one here. The full house here tonight. Thank you for souls that are learning to take responsibility for the we part of the gospel. Thank you for any here that are not saved. Would you help them to know that they're not saved? Would you bring them to the place where they not only want to be saved, but they understand what that is to be yours? Thank you, Father, for examples as we look at Joseph and his brothers. We talk about justice. We talk about forgiveness. And then we look at what you see as you look at our lives. Justice and forgiveness being possible, that is amazing for now and for eternity. So, Father, would you work your word into our hearts? Help us as we start working on a tricky part here of 1 Timothy. Help us with the rest of the things going on in our life that we remember whose we are and the responsibilities we have if we profess to be yours. Come in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, Paul now continues with a focus on how they are going to worship together. So we've talked about the problem in 1 Timothy 1. In 1 Timothy 2, he comes with a solution. He says, okay, it's going to start with a relationship with God shown through prayer, and prayer, praying for things that is wider than where you're looking. This is the character, the heart of God who desires all to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. But now, as we've worked through what that looks like inside the body, we're going to see how are we going to worship together in light of this focus in our prayers. First, we focus on the men, then on the women. If who God is determines what we pray for and his desires to become ours, then who God is also determines how we ask him for provision. The Lord's Prayer. Hallowed be your name. Your name is holy. Your kingdom come. Your will be done. Fellowship with him determines life and worship together. Remember we said fellowship determines mission? Fellowship with him determines life and worship together. So we start here with worship together and move out to the rest of life. I told you about this quote that I read. Michael Bentley was writing in his commentary. He said, there's one major thing which is often forgotten, all the discussion which takes place about the content of public worship. That's the need for God's people to approach the Lord in a holy and reverent manner. It used to be said that worshipers ought to prepare themselves for the Sunday services on Saturday evening. However, so many young believers today seem to spend Saturday evenings, even the early hours of Sunday, in hectic activities. It's not surprising in such cases that they often have difficulty in keeping their eyes open during the preaching of God's word. If the liveliness of the previous night has dominated all their thoughts and energy, it is no wonder that they are not in a fit state to come before the Lord in a solemn manner at the time of worship. If you want to look at that for a minute, and here's the question. But I'm going to go back to the quote. She's going to start typing on it, and then eventually we're going to flip her here to the answers. Just think about public preparation for public gatherings of believers, and specifically corporate worship. Gathering of believers together for corporate worship. Why is preparation necessary, and what might it include? Where's the world of this quote? For some of you, it might be normal. For some of you, it might have been a ritual that needed to pass away, that was wrongly rooted or whatever. But where does this quote live? Where does this quote live? The question is, why is preparation for public gatherings of believers, specifically corporate worship, necessary? And what might it include? Go ahead. Why is it necessary? I'll flip there in a minute, but I just want you to be able to look at that for a few more minutes. Jim, what are you thinking?
Mindful of who God is first, and then being mindful of our family's needs,
Okay, so he's saying it, for him, it includes meditate, mindful of who God is, and needs of those worshiping with. All right, that's the includes worshiping with. Okay, but I'm going to let this quote go. Can you let it go? Okay, send it on. There we go. Okay. The includes is going to be the bottom part, okay? Why is preparation for public gatherings necessary, specifically corporate worship? What do you think? You can go either way. Luke? If participant. Yeah, do you know it's movie day, I think, on Saturday? They're offering $3 tickets at some of these places. Oh, yeah, now you're all going to go out Saturday night late. Ha, ha, caught you. Okay, when you go to a movie, you are a spectator. You can participate if you want, I guess. I don't know what that looks like. You're going to annoy the people around you. But you are a spectator. If coming together in public worship, we are participants, then that's going to need preparation. Being a participant requires preparation. Sandy. Yeah. You know, that's the long-term dream. I know we're busy, but when these notes are put up online, if you just glance at them, 5 minutes beforehand, you think, oh, yeah. You know, you go, I hate when he reviews. You know what I'm looking for? We're not doing a Bible study. We're looking for repentance, for something about God. Remember, we talked about this last week. All right, when you read Scripture, you're saying, this is telling me something about the character and purposes of God. It's telling me something about what His kingdom values. It's telling me then indirectly how I, as an image bearer, fit inside of God's kingdom. And anywhere that there's a discrepancy, I'm called to adjust to Him. Okay? So that's the preparation you're doing. It helps a lot if you've just looked, glanced over the passages. In the old days, when you didn't talk, you didn't drink coffee, you didn't do anything in the sanctuary except worship, you chatted out there. When you came in, the organ was playing, you came in quietly, you looked over the bulletin to get the passages, the hymns, and you just prayed. You prayed for the preacher, you prayed for the people, the distractions, you prayed for the children, you prayed for your heart, you prayed for your family, you prayed through that because you were looking for your heart to be adjusted. That's important as we work our way into our passage here. Somehow to distinguish, she's right, she's saying we should be doing this all the time, but there's a reason, take a bath or shower, that you wash your clothes, okay? There's somewhere saying, you know what? It's gone too far. Remember, as a senior in Hite Public High School, my goal was to see how few times I could wash my gym clothes, okay? That was a game with all the seniors, right? And after a while, it smelled so bad because you sweat so much, you just stuck it back in there and pulled it out the next day and put it on again, okay? And eventually, take it home. clean out and get the profane away, right? We are coming before God. So scripture passages, browse scripture passages. What do you got? Where are you going? Nicole? Okay.
You don't go into things that have purpose to them. You don't go to a college class unprepared for that college class. You don't do these things, spend this time, use your resources if there's not a purpose for it. And therefore, if there's a purpose for it, you do all those things. Because either way, you either waste the resources,
purpose. Right. Remember we said that last week. When we set up church every week, we thought through, is this service worth all this effort? Took a lot of effort to put out all the chairs, all the books, all the sound equipment, do we need it? When we do the baptismal service, we think through every piece of what's going over there. Are we really going to need this? Because we got to turn around and tear it all down and set it all back up again. If God has called us to do this, then he has purposes. It's a waste of resources. It's a waste of resources. We talk about stewardship, waste of resources, and honoring God if don't accomplish those purposes. Accomplish those purposes. Okay. Purposes. Anything else? A couple other things, then we move? What do you got? Yeah, Sheldon, go. Yeah. Yeah. Right. So, all right. Contribute to unity of whole with purpose. So what makes a good Christmas for you? You know that, you know, you've heard for as long as we've been up here, the Norwegian custom, we open our presents in candlelight service. Well, when we have a service here, and we open at Christmas Eve, right? That means we're all waiting till we're all there, until we open the presents. Well, I think you all know that I'm usually the last one to leave here. And you realize, so then if we're not careful, they're all just sitting there, falling asleep, going, where's John David, right? So what he's saying is, see, we slam into that. And then you try to, you think, well, who do I need to talk to? What do I need to do? Well, how do I prepare ahead of time so that the family can do what we're doing there for Christmas? Right? Now, whatever, you know, you sit there and go, throw out the presents, okay, fine. Well, then what is our purpose? Back to what Nicole was saying. Well, here we come. If we are not just a spectator, but there are purposes that God set up for why we're to be together, then what are you doing to say, my head's all over the place, all kinds of crazy things happen? You know, what's the craziest stuff that's happened on your way to church or before church? You know, who threw up? You know, the flat tire, what happened? You know, you think of all that, and then, yeah, you come in, but even when you come in like that in the flurry, all right, your head is somewhere else. Everybody else's head wants to know what happened with your head, okay? The ushers are here to try to minimize those distractions. The better the ushers do, the more they're helping you to get your eyes focused on the main purposes. So anything we're doing to contribute to the unity of the whole with the purposes, okay? Anything else? I'm going to go. Jody?
Well,
Mm-hmm. Yeah. If anyone cleanses himself from these things, he, she will be a vessel of honor, for honor, sanctified, holy, she said holy, useful to the master, prepared for every good work. Prepared for every good work. If more useful to the others, for service to God. I mean, it's all service to God, but we're like, well, okay, how do we help the others? You know, you think about Christmas, think about get together. What does a family dinner look like? You know, where everybody, can you imagine preparing for a family dinner? Where the meal wasn't the preparation? You got your attitude right, you got all your grumpies out and all the other stuff, right? And you finally said, wow, I have privilege to sit around the table with these. What shall we talk about? What would build them up? What would we work through here? What would fit with the potatoes and the corn, right? And what's going to take away from this eating, right? See, all of this here, that more useful to the others, but all of it is under his service to God. Got it, Stan? Yeah, I'm going to get to 4:8. Go ahead. Well, go ahead, but just don't read it because I'm going to. So go, why are you thinking about that? Right. On God, for God. Yeah. Right. Right, so that's why I'm a little nervous when people say, I don't get anything out of the church service. It's like, wait, no, you were there to give something to that church service. You go, well, some preachers make that easier. Fine. All right? As I'm here preaching, I'm not my dad, you all have your opinions about that, all right? But here's what you need to ask, all right? He and others can get something out of my preaching. Why can I get something out of his preaching all the time, all right? Again, there's something that's way out of line, but if it's anywhere in the ballpark of what James 4, 6 to 10 is saying, back to what Sheldon had said, if there was preparation to slow something down, we're never all going to get on the same page. Your heart isn't going to all get cleaned out like Sandy was saying. But if I'm doing anything to help, that's that little booklet over there called Listen Up. It's not going to fix everything, but there's other pieces rather than you just going, oh, no. It doesn't do it for me. I don't know what it is. The whole package doesn't... What? That's not the tenor of James 4, 6 to 10. Go ahead. And I'm good. Say, you can read that one. Right. 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 So, you know, and that's what I've said, that it's not a thing of I did this during the week and then I do this for God. You better be able to figure out how to take God through all the twisted perversions of the world, including the twisted perversions of your heart. You're going to look at smut on your phone? Do it with God with you, all right? Just do it with Him with you. Think about everything you know about God and continue with whatever you're doing. You're going, well, that's awkward. Okay, that's a start. That's a start to say that's awkward. We need to get a little further than that, but that's a start. And that's what we're saying there, that a friend of the world, where do you fit, okay? All right, so let's just move on from this, okay? What we have to be asking ourselves here, why would preparation be necessary? We need to ask, what are the goals? Back to what Nicole was saying. If God has us doing it, it is not without purpose. What are the goals? Are these goals merely superficial? I'm there. I stood. I sat. I smiled. I sang. I prayed. I listened. What are those goals merely superficial? Here we go. Come to worship with a heart that is right toward God and all those He has placed in your world. Come to worship with a heart that is right toward God, a heart that is right. I didn't say everything's right between you and everybody else. A heart that is right toward all those He has placed in your world. First, men. Therefore, I want the men in every place to pray, lifting up holy hands without wrath and dissension. It's not a suggestion. This is a directive as they come to worship together. Why is it the men? Well, they're following the Jewish synagogue custom. The men are given responsibility to lead the church and its worship service. You could see it throughout this book. I'm just going to let that go. I'm not going to stamp that opinion. You know, it was not only back then. It's throughout these books, and we're coming to the women one about I do not allow a woman to teach or lead. That's the stuff I was studying today, working on that one. But in the Jewish synagogue scenario, the women had to sit even in the back or in the gallery, just keep quiet, look after the children, observe. So here we're saying the ones who are leading the worship in prayer, the men who then are leading, it's not because they're the only ones who pray publicly. All the rest of the men would pray on their own, not just the men who are leading. The women are praying in 1 Corinthians 11. You can see that the women are told to pray as well. Perhaps Acts 1:14 as well. But here it's talking specifically in the public worship, the men who are leading, here is how they are to pray. They're going to do this in every place. It probably means the different gatherings of the church. When you get together, when you pray, when you're worshiping together, lifting up holy hands, you're going to pray lifting up holy hands. What is that? Doesn't mean you have to have your hands up every time you're praying. It isn't just talking about prayer. It's talking about how that prayer is given. Remember, chapter 2, verse 1 is saying, I urge that entreaties, prayers, petitions, and thanksgivings be made on behalf of all men. How is that prayer going to be given here? Lifting up holy hands. Old Testament background. You know this, but let's just see these verses, okay? Hear the voice of my supplications when I cry to you for help, when I lift up my hands toward your holy sanctuary. When it's lifting up your hands toward God, it's showing dependence. It's showing that there is a need, and that need is coming from God. Cry aloud in the night, the beginning of the night watches. Pour out your heart like water before the presence of the Lord. Lift up your hands to Him, for the life of your little ones were faint because of hunger at the head of every street. Lifting up your hands shows need and dependence. In here, though, Psalm 63, because your loving kindness is better than life, my lips will praise you. I'll bless you as long as I live. I'll lift up my hands in your name. Or Psalm 141, may my prayer be counted as incense. Incense, the sweet-smelling offering that goes up before God. The lifting up of my hands as the evening offering. As the incense goes up, my hands go up. Here you're talking about then just worship. We are under you. You are worthy. And so our hands go to you. Now, combined with holy, now you see in Psalm 24, who may ascend to the hill of the Lord? Who may stand in His holy place? So you got this whole tabernacle, temple, coming before the Lord, coming together. God, 1 Peter, we're going to get to it, but we are being built up as a spiritual house. to offer up spiritual sacrifice acceptable to God? Here we go. Who may ascend to the hill? He who has clean hands, and now we add a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul to falsehood, has not sworn deceitfully. Hand washing signified purity. The priest did this before they entered the tent of meeting. Look at this, pretty serious stuff. Aaron and his son shall wash their hands, their feet. When they enter the tent of meeting, they shall wash with water so that they will not die. You talk about what Sandy said about separating the holy from the profane. When they approach the altar to minister, by offering up in smoke a fire sacrifice to the Lord, they shall wash their hands and their feet so they will not die. A perpetual statute for them, for Aaron and his descendants throughout their generations. You see it in the New Testament here. I have it again up on the top there, but down on the bottom. Now flee from youthful lust, pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart. Look up back up at the top. He who has clean hands and a pure heart, washing their hands before they went before the Lord so they didn't die. So that your mind, your body is not driven by the flesh. You being at the center, which is what Stan was talking about. Here, we're not only talking about worship, we're talking about need and dependence. We're talking about a pure heart, about cleansing ourselves from what is profane. That leads to talking about actions resulting from an impure heart. Knight notes in his commentary that hands are tied with prayer, but that hands are the prime agent for human activities. Oh, be careful, little hands, what you do. The prime agent for human activities, that with which a person acts. It's inappropriate, it's dishonoring to come before God in prayer without preparation. Worship, a need of our heart, when our actions are dirty, it's inappropriate. The wrong and the right is presented here in Isaiah. I hate your new moon festivals, your appointed feasts. They become a burden to me. I'm weary of bearing them. So when you spread out your hands in prayer, I'm going to hide my eyes from you. Yes, even though you multiply prayers, I won't listen because your hands are covered with blood. Well, here's what you do then. Wash yourselves, make yourselves clean. Remove the evil of your deeds from my sight. Do it. Cease to do evil. Stop. Learn to do good. Seek justice. Reprove the ruthless. Defend the orphan. Plead for the widow. Come, let us reason together. Though your sins are scarlet. Scarlet is a bad color in that verse. Okay? They will be white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they'll be like wool. If you consent and obey, you will eat the best of the land. If you refuse and rebel, you'll be devoured by the sword. Truly the mouth of the Lord has spoken. So he's calling out, saying, inappropriate, but here is what is appropriate. Here's what you do. So you know this verse. This is one that grabbed me in my teenage years. If I regard wickedness in my heart, the Lord will not hear. Or James 4:8, and here's the section that Stan was referring to. Yeah, look at that whole chapter there. Draw near to God, he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. We're talking not just about purity, but now if your hands are clean, your hands are what carry out deeds, you're saying, my hands are yours. My heart is yours. Cleanse me, clean me. I am here reporting for duty. I'm prepared. I have come in the right manner. Think about the wedding clothes, the parable, you know, of the wedding feast. And you, how'd you get in here without the right clothes? We're preparing our heart, okay? So we're talking not just about purity, but complete devotion to God, committed to his service. Okay, now let's add to what you said in the beginning. Can you add anything else? Or nuance it just here a little bit. What would you add to preparation needed for public worship and the prayer prescribed in verse 1 to 7? Based on what we've been talking about so far. Can you add anything? Would you nuance? What comes to your mind now when you think of preparation? It might fit with what was said before, but just keep going. Hannah? Clear line between obedience, and disobedience. Okay? According to God's word. To God's word. And that's in action, you know, attitude. Okay? But before, you know, you can't repent. We talked about that with Joseph's brothers. We talked about that in our real life. If you can say, well, I got a problem with someone, and they're wrong, and they go, no, you're wrong. And if you cannot have a final standard here, you cannot get things right. So we're saying that preparation is just clean it up, all right? This is not whether I'm better than you or you're better than me or this. No, this is God, a holy God. His commands come out of his character. It's who he is. If you have truly been saved, we're going to say this a couple times here. You were saved not just from hell. You were saved from alienation from God and being his enemy. You were brought back to God. So when we talk about this, we're saying there's actions and attitudes that are out of fellowship with God. It's a clear line. Not I sin, you sin, everybody sins. It's calling out those sins and then addressing them the way that God has told us to, as it said in Isaiah. So specific, you just look in. It's not about you being perfect. It's you saying, let's have a clear line here. I've got an attitude that's running underneath here that is going to prohibit the fellowship with God, the fellowship with the saints, and accomplishing God's purposes. You need to be very aware of that. Hey, be patient with me today. I'm not in a good place, and it's my fault. Not, I didn't need that from you today. See, that's the flip side of, is church about you, or is church about God? What do you got? Olga. Yes. High cost for your redemption. So do you think the baseball players are worth the money they get? Basketball, football? I'll tell you what. I don't know if I would want the largest salary. I mean, I guess they're taking it and they view it more like a business, but I'll tell you what, you want to take away any of the fun of the game and you go into a batting slump and they paid millions and millions and millions, you look at these salaries, right? They said, wait, and there was some guy that did stupid, there's a bunch of them that do stupid, but they just got, and they got in trouble with the law, got in trouble with whatever, and it was like, I forget what happened, and it's like he has not played for them, and he had one of the highest salaries, all right? You guys will fill that in, football, but I was thinking about a baseball player. You're thinking there. They got you for the team's purpose. Forget about who's the greediest and whatever, but there's a purpose to playing, okay? And somebody, through their own actions, was just spitting. You know, you listen to them talk. You go, well, I'm all here for the organization, and you sit there, and you go, no, you're not. No, you're not. You are letting that organization down. Knowing that you were redeemed not with perishable things, but with the precious blood of Christ. Do you believe that Jesus is God? That God's blood was put out for your soul? This isn't about the debtor's ethic like we talked in Piper. It's just saying, for when you're looking at your life, what are you doing? You sitting on the bench? Remember that quote from a few weeks ago about Spurgeon saying, I'm afraid that a lot of people are sitting there not rowing. They're just filling the seats. Where is the sacrifice? Where is the preparation? This isn't about beating yourself and saying, I'm never good enough. No, you're not good enough. But if he bought you, he bought you for a purpose. You better be thinking, what did he want from me right now? What did he want from me? High cost for your redemption. Am I aware and seeking to do what he saved me to do? What do you got? What do you got? Sheldon, go.
Clean with, like, when you come to church to worship, your heart is clear because of what you have been
So I was reading with Charles and Hannah now as we're working on marriage books. The best marriage books are not just about marriage. They're about your relationship with God and then how you relate with other people. And it was talking about not looking to read these books as the way to fix your marriage, but they said the more you understand about God, everything we were saying before about reading the Bible, about God, His kingdom, your place in His world, he said, then the more you focus on loving the Lord your God with all your heart, the more you will have, it called it, prepared spontaneity. Prepared spontaneity. It's what Sheldon said, through the day, right? Well, I'm just thinking through the years, you know. So through the years, we had church softball teams, all right? Remember I've told you this one before? It was really awkward when one of the softball players got pulled over by the police after the game and the whole church drove by them, right? Okay, the other awkward thing is when the whole church is driving anywhere together in a big caravan, right? And you get that, you know, watch out for them, they're a speed demon, and they think they're so holy. And it's like, oh, yeah, well, now you can go 2 miles over, 6 miles over, 8 miles over, it's none of your business over, right? Where, what is godly? And why are we talking about the speed limit? What else is it? Well, he cut me off. Well, he went too slow. Is too slow a sin, too? You know, well, you know, can you yell at all the people in your car if you can't think and they're too loud? You know, these things are split-second decisions. I loved ethics class because, you know, it was like, should you slit somebody's throat? No. But should you slit somebody's throat if they were coming after somebody else you love? You go, oh, well, now that's trouble. Well, should you slit their throat or protect the people that you love? Or should you pay them off so they won't do it? Should you bribe them? What happens if the police come and they're not trustworthy? Do you bribe them? Or do you just defend? And the more pieces you add, the more you go, well, I don't know, you do this. After a while, you do what you got to do and you just say, you know what, let's just go to church. But did you have clean hands? And you sit there and you go, I can't do all this. This is what we're talking about in Sunday school, about the difference between an officer and an infantryman. We all should have the heart to obey as an infantryman. On the other side, you are responsible. Flee from these things, O man of God, and pursue righteousness, faith, love, blah, blah, with all those who call on the Lord from a pure heart. Pursue. Pursue. This is not abstract. This isn't about hitting a home run. It's just saying what Hannah said at the beginning. Just let's clean this line up. And you go, I don't know. Something's not settled in what I did with that. Lord, would you help me to sort out these pieces? It's taking responsibility for it. So, awareness. Awareness that... just okay is not okay. Okay? What else? Got it? We are vessels. We are ambassadors. 2 Corinthians 5. We put those verses up Sunday morning. God was reconciling the world through Christ. And he has committed to us the ministry of reconciliation. Once you've been reconciled to God, he said, we are here as ambassadors, as if God were entreating through us, be reconciled to God. If we come before him recognizing his holiness, he's the respect, he's worthy of working, where Olga was going, worthy of working through the attitudes that contradict his holiness. Our actions, our attitudes, that whole, I don't know, it's good enough. Don't worry about it. Why don't you look at yourself? Stop judging me. You know, just, no. He's worthy of you working through the attitudes that contradict his holiness. My agenda, you know, I'm going to church, then I'm going to eat, then I'm going to sleep, then I'm going to finish my goals. No, his kingdom. This is what we're here to do. I get it, guys. You come in the middle of the week, I get it. When we fall asleep, we got so many differences. It's not just when we get up and we go to bed. There's so many different things going on in here. How your body feels, your mind's going, what your household's like, what your job, what your season of life is. There's so much pushing against when we come in here Wednesday. If we're not careful, the same's going to start happening with Sunday. You're feeling it. Things more and more and more and more is pushing in onto Sunday. All right? You've all been saying it, that even in a secular way, Sunday was a downtime day. So that freed us to be able to come together. Now you're going to feel everything pushing into it. And how do you come before him with clean hands and a pure heart? Specifically here, okay, so well, we're talking about coming before him, his rule, his reign. What does God care about in the things that I'm thinking about? What does God care about? Specifically here in our verse, you will be out of line if you come to public worship and pray with wrath and dissension. Wrath and dissension. We're talking about attitudes and actions that are hard on relationships thriving. Anger. Remember, anger isn't wrong. Anger speaks of injustice. But how, all right, how you're angry, how where it takes itself out on, and what you're angry for. Are you angry for the things that God has you to be angry about? And are you under God with your anger? If somebody's truly out of line, start with forgiveness. We talked about that on Sunday. All right. I think those slides are out of line, but we'll see. On Sunday, I say to you, everyone who's angry with his brother shall be guilty before the court. Whoever says to his brother, you good for nothing, shall be guilty before the Supreme Court. Whoever says you fool shall be guilty enough to go to the fire hell. We don't have time to work through that. It's not just the words. There's a whole attitude behind it of what you're doing with these people, okay? If you are presenting your offering at the altar, remember your brother has something against you. Leave your offering before the altar. First, go be reconciled to your brother. Then come and present your offering. Let all bitterness, wrath, and anger, and clamor, and slander be put away from you along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving, just as God in Christ has forgiven you. Colossians, same thing. You also put them aside. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, abusive speech from your mouth, bearing with one another, forgiving each other. Whoever has a complaint against anyone, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. A lot hinges on what you believe you were forgiven for, you are being forgiven for. A lot hinges on that inside of these passages. Vertical forgiveness. We talked on Sunday saying if you do not forgive, God won't forgive you. You better understand the difference between vertical forgiveness and horizontal. Meaning, if there is a sin, then it's first against God, not against you. You're acknowledging God's place in being the righteous judge and the final dispenser of justice and mercy. You release to God. Reconciliation demands that each other understands the worldview. You can carry out justice, but you cannot carry out reconciliation unless people have a similar worldview. That's why confess means saying the same thing as. But we're talking about releasing to God. Then, if you have released to God, you're finally free to pray for even those you're in conflict with, to look for opportunities for reconciliation without demanding payment from you to get back at what they've done, then any discipline or judgment that you have to carry out with a broken relationship can be done under God, for him and for them. Under God, for him and for them. That's why it says, be angry and yet do not sin. Don't let the sun go down on your wrath. It needs to be under God, for him, for them. Dissension. No, without anger or dissension, this is thoughts and opinions clashing in a way that there's division. So we're talking about these men as they come and lead in prayer. They're praying not with the demeanor or actions characterized by strife or dissension. The focus of holy here is on the specific sins of men that Knight says that most affect their prayer for others by setting barriers between them and God. We're talking about the specific sins of men that most affect their prayer for others by setting barriers between them and God. Okay. Yes, here we go. sobering verse. You husbands, the same way, live with your wives in understanding ways with someone weaker, since she's a woman. Show her honor as a fellow heir of the grace of life, so that your prayers will not be hindered. This isn't just a do it or else. You have to, there's a whole bunch of worldview stuff going on in there. But what you need to realize is prayer is there's an open fellowship between you and God. You are not acting the character of God. Well, then you have something that you need to deal with between you and God. It has nothing to do with you and that other person first. It's between you and God. You straighten that up, and then you can handle the brokenness with the other person. Okay, last question for tonight. Yeah, I messed this up. So here it is. There it is. If lifting holy hands in prayer involves your attitudes and relationships with others, what would preparation for public gathered worship include? Last question. Just adding to everything we're saying, but now you're thinking here again, all the cleaning out you said, and now we have to care about wrath and dissension. We're talking about injustice and strife, just strife. What are you thinking? Now what we got to do, Sheldon? You ready? Yeah, say it. Yeah. If you know they're going to wake up grumpy, did you prepare for that the night before? Did you prepare your heart, even if you couldn't prepare them? Do you recognize, you know, that if they're going to wake up grumpy, well, what's the least grumpy way? You know, and you go, well, it doesn't matter. Well, then you at least had to have your heart prepared with the armor of God on with that. It's going to take forethought. Instead of you going, they're a jerk, well, how did God deal with jerks? We're not asking for perfection. We're asking for preparation. What do you got? Ellie. Yeah, spouse, whatever. Yeah. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus, right? That though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, so that you, through his poverty, might become rich. Now you start seeing Paul, even if I'm poured out as a drink offering upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I rejoice. And I share my joy with you all. It's a disposition. It's not just, oh, God, I'm lucky to get there. And now you're asking for this for me, and this for me, and this for me, and this for me. Do you realize it's you know, we're going to come back to it in Sunday school. Two people came up to me after adult Sunday school and said, you know what the key to all that heart for service in Romans 12 was? The renewing of your mind. Without that renewing, none of the rest would happen. You're going to look at this, and you're going to drown under it and go, scrap it. And 1 John 3 said something about we're those that keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. Where does that live? So, you know, somewhere when you say they're selfish, it's not just, and I'm selfish too. What does selfishness do? You said this right at the beginning. It makes us come in. This church isn't working for me. The people aren't working for me. My attitude is all a mess. Yeah, it's you. It's you. It's me. We're looking for preparation. The work of preparation. And you say, it's impossible. That's not what these verses are saying. None of these verses are saying, out, 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 out. All of you, out. They're saying, here, clear line. Back to what Hannah said. Clear line. And now here's what you do about it. Do that. We need to quit. You think on this, and we're going to come back to it next week. We'll finish this and work into the women verse.